Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to an exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the Fukushima irradiated. Of course, we don't exactly know how irradiated it is because we stopped testing for the radiation like last year or something. But now everybody is really enjoying it, and the prospects are getting a lot brighter because they glow in the dark and have managed to get paid as a part-time job. Standing in for an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is Max Egan, and today we're going to be talking about Gaza and Israel and this whole thing. I had said yesterday that basically the movement has this one. I don't really need to give this issue any coverage. There's plenty of people out there doing heaps of work trying to expose this, and I've got lots of other things on my plate. And at the end of the day, I can't ignore this one. I just kind of had a realization. Max, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here, Vinny. Thanks for asking me on, brother.
Now, you've got personal experience, and you're not only, unlike most people, the vast majority of people who comment on Israel or Gaza and have strong opinions about it one way or another, you've actually been there.
Yeah, I've actually been there on the ground, seen it firsthand, and I had a unique opportunity because I went there completely unrestrained, unrestricted. You know, normally when you go into Gaza, you've got to have minders there, people looking after you, you've got designated plans, you're going to go this and see that, and they're going to take you to certain areas. I just basically entered the country illegally and wandered around for 10 days with a video camera and went all these places I wasn't supposed to go and didn't have anyone looking after me and just kind of rented a unit and hung out for 10 days. So I got to see it from a real perspective on the ground with the people, no one looking after me, just wandering around the country by myself. And it was a great experience. But it gave me a very unique insight that a lot of people don't have when they go to Gaza Strip.
Well, what kind of insight are we talking about? I mean, what was the difference between your experience and those who would, say, for example, not be able to go into the restricted areas? What did you see in these restricted areas that you talk about?
Well, it's just that I got to see the real people on the ground. I didn't get shown any sanitized version of Gaza Strip. I didn't get to, you know, go to specially safe people's places or any of that sort of stuff. I just got to hang out with the people and see what they were really like. And what I found was they're beautiful people. They're just normal people who want a normal life. I went in there and lectured at the university, and the university really fascinated me, actually. I was there, and I saw all these students trapped in this open-air prison, and I wondered why on earth they were bothering to go to university. I mean, what do you hope to achieve by going to a university in Gaza Strip? Are you going to be able to do anything? You can't even get a job here. What are you going to do? And all the people I spoke to said they were going to university mainly because they wanted to learn English, because it's an international language and they want to be able to speak and bring the message to the world that they're normal people and want to live like normal people. They're not a country full of terrorists. You know, people are going to so much effort to do this and to let people know that they are just normal people. Now, Gaza Strip is a refugee camp more than anything else. That's what it is. There are no military targets in Gaza Strip. It's a civilian population of refugees. There's a few hundred Hamas in there that are sort of controlling the place. But even if Israel's got a problem with Hamas, most of the people in Gaza are civilians. Hamas is about a few hundred people. And the collective punishment that's being meted out to these people is absolutely disgraceful. It's not acceptable. It's a war crime. You know, I really believe that Israel is an out-of-control, rogue, terrorist nation that is in the process of committing a war crime in the Gaza Strip. This isn't a revenge killing. This is an opportunity to go in and carry out yet more ethnic cleansing against the Palestinian people. It's what Israel does best, and that is kill Palestinians for whatever excuse it can find to do so.
Now, you'll have to forgive me for saying this, but part of the reason why I've delayed in trying to cover this issue is because Gaza gets attacked all the time. It's a constant thing. Isn't it?
All the time.
It's almost as if...
While I was in there, it got attacked. While I was in there, they were lobbing bombs over the walls. There were rockets landing. There were fishermen being shot off the shore. And Gaza did not respond to any of these attacks. And when Gaza does respond with these small primitive pipes that Hamas make and send over the wall, these are fertilizer-powered pipes that if they land on your house, they put a hole in your roof. They don't blow up. When they do that, and Israel responds with one of the most powerful military forces on earth, and it goes in and it carries out massive acts of ethnic cleansing, and that's what it's doing right now.
And it's not just the fact that they're doing this program. I mean, it's almost like How long has this conflict been going on? How long have we been trying to expose them without any success, well, any notable success whatsoever? We've gone from the full massive state of Palestine to the full massive state of Israel to just having the West Bank and Gaza, and then it gets further and further and further away from having any kind of independent Palestinian authority or any kind of decent borders or any kind of land for themselves. It just seems like a psychopathic scumbag in charge of a massive military funded by the West just thinks these people are parasites. I want to kill them, but the problem is I can't just out and out exterminate them all right away. I've got to manufacture some big lie so that I can keep continuing to kill them and oppress them on a daily basis to the point where everybody gets bored of hearing about it, so I can continue to do it, and eventually they'll ignore it completely and I can get the final solution done.
Exactly, that's it. I mean, they're called terrorists because they're defending themselves against constant terrorism from Israel. That's it. Israel's a terrorist state. It's carrying out terrorism against the Palestinian people. It's been doing so for 60 years, and if they fight back, they're called terrorists. You're not allowed to fight back. You're not allowed to fight back. We've got to come and bully you. You've got to do everything we say. And if you fight back because we control the media, we will label you as a terrorist. Israel is a terrorist state. If your government out there is financing Israel and supporting Israel, then you have a terrorist government in your country. Australia is run by terrorists because this government finances Israel. New Zealand sends aid to Israel. New Zealand has a government of psychopathic terrorists. America finances Israel. America finances Israel to the tune of $7 billion a day because America is full of psychopathic Zionist terrorists who are controlling the nation, and they are promoting the ethnic cleansing of an entire race of people. That's what's going on. Israel is a rogue terrorist state, and any government that supports it is a criminal government and should be removed by its people, and these psychopathic criminals need to be put in jail. Are you listening to me, people? This
and,
is
can
what
I also,
needs to happen.
Jump in here, Max, because there's two things that you said here that I want to back you up on. Number one, you look up the definition of terrorism in the dictionary. It's a form of government that uses fear and intimidation to keep its own people in line. Uh-huh. And guess who the leader of the New Zealand Zionist Society is? Our current Prime Minister, John Key, who is incidentally a Jewish banker.
What is Zionism? I've got a really nice way of explaining Zionism. Zionism is a mental pathogen. It's a psychic parasite that infects otherwise normal people and turns them into sociopathic morons who believe they are better than other people and that they have the right to steal countries and kill anybody who gets in their way. It's a parasitic mental infection that turns people into deranged psychopaths called Zionists. These people are infected. They have Zionism. They need to be locked up and cured of Zionism. And it's a pity there isn't some sort of an antidote we can find for this psychic, mental, parasitic, psychopathic disease called Zionism. That's what
I think
Zionism
compassion
is.
Might be one of those cures. You know, try compassion. Have you tried that before? Well, no, actually, I've just tried hate, anger, and killing people and killing children. And apparently, I'm still a sociopath. So maybe I'll try compassion just this once to try and, you know, wean myself off of it.
I don't think they're capable of feeling compassion, Vinny. I think it's a genetic defect that these people have. I think the New Zealand Prime Minister is mentally defective. He has a genetic defect that causes him to be a parasite called Zionist.
Well, what we've seen, and even in mainstream science, is they've found that psychopathy is actually an infectious mind parasite, and it indeed embodies the same characteristics that you're saying are a Zionist. However, it goes across all belief structures. So I think really the central thing here is not Zionism, it's psychopathy in and of itself, using Zionism as a smokescreen to defend itself and allow itself to gain more followers that it needs the energy from in order to kill and maim and destroy, as is its desire.
Yeah, well, that's sort of true. I mean, I think Zionism is a creation of psychopaths. It's a mechanism by where psychopaths can train otherwise normal people to become psychopaths. And once they get infected, we call them Zionists. I mean, I'm very emotional about this, Vinny. You know, people being blown up, mainly the people that have been killed in Gaza are children. There are no military targets in Gaza. It's all civilian. And I'm over it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of soft language. I'm sick of people not calling a spade. I'm sick of watching these governments support this terrorist rogue nation. And these people who control Israel, they don't even have any right to be there. They're not even real Jews. They're European Khazars that usurped the faith, came down here. You go to Israel, the Semitic Jews, the poor Jews in Israel are downtrodden. They are treated like shit, just the same as the Palestinians. These psychopathic scumbags from Europe are the ones who've done all this. And with my investigations into the Holocaust and all the stuff that gave these cretins the excuse to come down and steal this country, if you look at the Holocaust and you look at World War II, you find out there were 100,000 Khazar Jews in Hitler's army. And I would suggest that all of the atrocities that were carried out against the Semitic Jews were carried out by the Khazar Jews just so they could steal Palestine. The whole thing's been a scam. And it's about time the whole world wake up to it and put these people where they belong. And that is not in control of a country and certainly not in control of one of the world's most powerful militaries.
Do you believe that this is an emotional war as much as it is about the facts and evidence?
Absolutely, absolutely. They're trying to rile people up. I mean, they've got me mad. They've got me really mad. No one ever gets me this mad. I don't swear on radio shows. I don't rant and rave the way I have been for the last week. But the gloves have got to come off on this issue, Vinny. And I'm not going to back down. I'm going to name these people for what they are. And it's about time everybody else did. Stop using soft language. Stop being politically correct. Stand up and call a spade, because if you don't, then you're just allowing this genocide to continue. Everybody who stays silent about this is complicit, as far as I'm concerned. And what about the mainstream media? Have you seen the shit the mainstream media is saying about Palestine and about Israel?
I believe they showed a footage of destruction in Gaza and said that it was destruction in Israel that the Gazans caused.
Exactly. They've done it not more than once, and it's not just one network. CNN, ABC, NBC, all of them have been showing footage of blown up buildings in Gaza and claiming it's damage from Hamas rockets in Israel. It's absolutely blatant disinformation. It's as Chris Geo said, it's a whole new level of fucked up. That's what's happening, you know.
When we're talking about the media and the propaganda side of it, one thing that actually happened to me, I was having a conversation with Dr. Leonard Horowitz and Sherry Kane one time, and they're emotional Zionists, right? So they were yelling at me and screaming at me and what have you about my criticism of the state of Israel. But what was interesting is they brought another guy into the conversation, Nigel somebody. If you search it on my YouTube channel, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be able to learn. But it's very, very interesting because as the old saying says, the first casualty in war is always the truth. And what I've found is that there's the Israeli population of generalized people. There's a little bit of mind control, there's a little bit of propaganda. They all have to go into the military service or whatever. And those are the ordinary people. And up the top, you've got the psychopaths who control the military and the structures in a hierarchical way. And then over on the Palestinian front, you have the women, children, old men and things of that nature, non-combatants, people who really, really just want to live in peace and not get frickin' exterminated. And within them, just like every other culture in the entire world, there's a tiny little section of people who want to stir things up, who want to attack and fight and everything like that, and also are willing to use propaganda in order to convince the West of their struggle, regardless of whether or not their struggle's real. And I found that very, very interesting. There was a documentary done by 60 Minutes, I think, called Pallywood. And I'm not sure if this was a propaganda film or not. This is what I'm actually starting to wonder now, whether or not the 60 Minutes was simply doing a propaganda hit piece on the Palestinians. But what they were showing was raw footage of Palestinians shooting up an Israeli position. The Israeli position wasn't shooting back. And then they would fake being hit and fake being carried to ambulances and things of that nature. And then they would give that footage to the international news agencies after it had been edited out. That kind of thing. And of course, this is an emotional issue, and it seems to be an incredibly small minority, both Israeli and Palestinian, who are actually keeping this conflict going, and it's the entirety of the populations of both countries that have to live in anxiety constantly. Even the Israelis who aren't getting bombed all the time still live in this constant fear-porn anxiety through the Israeli media. I'm just wondering whether or not that perspective is shared by either side.
Well, look, you'll find that most of Israel, I mean, most of Israel are sociopaths. They're trained to be that way through the education system. You've got guys out there on the roof of their cars, you know, eating popcorn, watching the bombs go off in Gaza. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu saying 5 million Israelis are cowering in bunkers. They're not. They're out there with popcorn and beer watching the babies being blown up. I'd say that film that you saw was probably something made by Mossad. And as for 60 Minutes, well, is there anything 60 Minutes has ever done which hasn't been a propaganda hit piece?
Well, they did a story on Alan Smith here in New Zealand when he got cured of swine flu by vitamin C and criticised the Ministry of Health for trying to restrict his access to it, which cured him.
Oh, well, that might be one story that they've done. I'm surprised.
If anything, seems to be individual reporters that are working for 60 Minutes, because I spoke to the reporter who did that piece I was referring to, and she said that she got a lot of hassle from her producers and everything after making that.
Well, because she told the truth, of course, you see. They don't want that. That's not what 60 Minutes is about, you know.
Mm.
But the people in Israel don't live in fear of Hamas rockets all the time. The Hamas rockets don't even reach Tel Aviv. For God's sake, these are pipes. These are fertilizer-powered pipes. They're just skyrockets. They come down, put a hole in your roof. You know, they don't hurt. Israel responds with a 500-pound bomb in a residential area, takes out 29 family members in one go. That's what Israel does. Israel does everything it can to find excuses to kill Palestinians. And you'll find that, unfortunately, most of the Israelis simply hate the Palestinians. I've got Israelis here in that I know in town, a computer shop in town. I go in there and say, oh, it's a bummer. You know, they just say, oh, look, if you live next to the Palestinians, you'd want to kill them too. They forget the Palestinians. They're scum. They shouldn't be on earth.
They're really inhuman, the Israelis that I've met on this issue. I mean, we were at a protest.
Go ahead. They're trained to be. See, the Israeli education system is designed to raise people to be sociopaths who religious supremacist sociopaths. You try to talk about this sort of stuff to someone educated in Israel, and you come up against a brick wall of racist programming. Mm. So you can't really blame them. It's the way they're programmed.
It's not just that, Max. It's not just that. The entire global media network has forced this this programming, as you're talking it, on the consciousness of everybody, particularly Christians. One of my best mates was sitting down with a Christian lady who was known for years and years, and they started talking about Gaza, and she said, oh, those Palestinians are all terrorists and they should all be killed. Right, and exactly. We're talking about somebody who's a truther, who knows 9/11 was an inside job, and that fluoride's bad for you, and everything like that, and is a hardcore Christian who just believes all the Gazans are parasites and need to be exterminated. I mean, you know.
Well, she's not a truther at all. She's a sociopath. She's a brain-dead sociopath that's working for her own agenda and will only accept the truth that she accepts. She's not a truther at all, and she doesn't understand it. Jews hate Christians. Jews think Christians are freaking idiots because they think Christ is the son of God. Judah doesn't think Christ is the son of God. He was just a prophet. You people are morons for thinking he's the son of God. They look down on Christians. They don't give a shit about Christians. Now, and really, if you look at the two religions, Islam and Judaism are actually very, very similar. Christianity is the odd one out. So how come there is a Judeo-Christian alliance trying to wipe out the Muslims? Because of the Khazars that influenced both the Judaic society and the Christian society. The Zionist Khazars that have infiltrated all of this society, they've created this alliance between Christians and Jews so they can wipe out Muslims, and then the Judaic system that is left will wipe out the Christians, and then Zion rules the world. That's what it's all about.
I was talking with a very heavily Christian guy who's like literally reading the Bible in front of me the other night. And I tried to convince him, and I think I actually got him to think about it, that religion is a tool. And just like any good tool, it can be used for good or it can be inverted and used for evil. It can be used as a weapon. And I believe that it is probably the most powerful mind control weapon ever developed.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you could put it out there with television, but, you know, it is. Religion is an absolute weapon of mind control. It's a weapon of division, and it's programming. It's absolute divisionist programming, the whole thing, you know. But really, I mean, all of the religions basically say the same thing. I mean, they're all religions of faith, religions of peace, if you really look at them. All the monotheistic religions, none of them preach war. And yet all everybody does is go and kill everybody else who doesn't believe in their book. So none of the people that are fighting in the name of their religion are actually following their faith. They're all delusional, a lot of them. And it's a program, you know.
I always found that very funny. I'm Christian. I'm all about love and forgiveness. You don't believe in Jesus, I kill you.
Mm. Exactly. That's what they do.
It's what I call hypocristians.
But it's like, no, they're okay. It's okay for them to do that. That's part of the Christian program because of the Redeemer complex, you see. It's okay for me to kill you if you don't believe in my faith. That was just anger, and it was the power of God that made me rise up and do that because God wanted me to do that, and it's okay that I killed you because Jesus died for my sins anyway, so it's all good. I'm still going to go to heaven. Yeah. The Redeemer complex. It allows you to go out and rape the planet in the name of God, and it's all good. You're going to go to heaven anyway.
It sounds not entirely dissimilar from the New Age psychobabble about do as thou wilt, and there's no such thing as good or evil. Just sit back and everything will be honky-dory and you never have to suffer.
Yeah, well, the New Age religion was created as a perfect trap, a little grease trap for all of the people who suddenly got disillusioned with the monotheistic faiths. They had to have somewhere to go, and they didn't want them finding out about reality. So they wrapped up about 90% of reality in the New Age religion and then got the last little bit there where they lead you down a blind alley of spiritual narcissism and lock you into a bubble of inaction. That's what the New Age movement is all about. It'll give you 90% of the truth about reality and how reality works, how it's an energetic universe, we're all connected to everything else, all the great stuff that you need to know, only it locks you up in a bubble of ego and narcissism. And you just don't look at anything because where attention goes, energy flows, of course. There's none of this thought that, hey, we could heal the world if we face the problems and fix them and applied all of this positive stuff we've learned in our New Age philosophies to the world at large that we live in. No, ignore that. It's not about being in the world here. It's about where you're going to go after the world. And if you ignore everything in this world and you keep a nice neutral ground, then you're going to ascend to the fifth dimension. It's a crock. Absolute crock, and it just allows the degradation and destruction and murder and rape and pillaging to continue, and that's what it was for.
Yeah, basically there's that old quote, and I'm sure we've all heard it before, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And guess what the New Age religion preaches that you should do? Nothing.
Exactly. That's what it's all about, Vinny.
It's about evil triumphing, and it will triumph over your mind and your spirit and your soul if you allow it and ignore reality. Just like Ayn Rand said, regardless of whatever else she said.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I want to do, Vinny, what I want to do at this stage. Unfortunately, I've got to go and speak at the Boom Festival in about 2 weeks' time in Portugal. I wish I didn't. I wish that tour was not booked now. I've got a whole bunch of stuff I've got to do through Europe, but I want to organize, if people are willing, I want to organize an international delegation of activists. If you're an activist out there and you are serious about being an activist, if you've been out here doing radio shows and you've been making clips and you've been spreading information and you really think you're a truther, well, come with me and let's all go to Gaza Strip. I want to get as many people as I can. I'd like to get 1,000 people or 2,000 people. I'd like to get a delegation of international activists. I will pull the pin on the European tour at any time. As soon as I can get enough people together, I will cancel all dates and I will go straight to Gaza Strip with everybody who wants to come with me. We need to put as many people on the ground from as many countries as possible in Gaza Strip as quickly as we possibly can so we can stop the terrorist forces of Israel from carrying out their program of ethnic cleansing against these people. That's what's happening. It's genocide and ethnic cleansing. I want to go to Gaza and I want you all to come with me. So who's in for it?
Yeah. Hey, that sounds like a really great mission. I'd like to be on there because I've always wanted to test whether or not the casing on my GoPro is explosion proof as they claim that it is.
Well, it'll give you a good opportunity to find out, brother. So let's go to Gaza, Vinny.
Yeah. I'll just like wave at an Israeli tank and say, hey, bro, you know, can you try and shoot this GoPro camera, see if it blows up?
Well, I'll have no problem doing that,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah. Well, I'll just pretend that I'm a Palestinian child and they'll go, shalom. All right. Thank you very much, Max Egan. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check out the homepage, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. It's a listener-supported broadcast, so please go to that homepage and start up a regular donation through PayPal or the KiwiBank account if you happen to be in New Zealand. And if you don't like either of those options, just send me an email and I'll give you my address. So you can message us through an envelope. envelope or something. We've also got a number of sponsors on the homepage there: Volcania Coffee, the High Tea Cafe, the Gourmet Soap Kitchen and Wagga Wagga, Blue Shield, don't forget that, to protect you from EMF and EMR radio active frequencies and whatnot, which we're all currently bathed in as though it's water, and the Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton and the Range of Illusions by B. Holmes. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Max Egan. TheCrowHouse.com is his website. And we've been talking about Gaza, and we just had, over the break, we're talking about the idea of human shields. Now, I recall the Bundy Ranch, bunch of militia and all of these kind of people there, this face-off with the BLM. And I recall Sheriff Richard Mack talking about putting women and children on the front lines of the militia so that, A1, people don't generally shoot at women and children. That's why they're used as human shields, quote unquote. But number two, were they to actually shoot the women and children, it gets blown right up out into the sky in terms of media coverage because it generates an awful lot of interest. Now, what Max was talking about was taking a group of activists and supporters and things of that nature from Western countries to Gaza to engage in activism there and information gathering and sharing and whatnot. And I suggested, what about the human shield approach? Because I wonder, how willing would the Israeli military be to open fire on crowds of Palestinians if they're surrounded by famous Western activists?
Well, the whole operation's a human shield operation, Vinny. That's the point of going there. Just by being on the ground in Gaza, you're a human shield. If there's 2,000 international activists in Gaza from all the countries on earth, then if Israel bombs Gaza, they're bombing every country on earth. They're attacking citizens from every nation on earth. This is basically a declaration of world war, which is what Israel will do anyway. I mean, Israel's already said if anyone ever threatens its existence, it'll wipe out every major city on the planet and take the whole planet down with it. That's how psychopathic these people are. Just Google the Samson option if you doubt that. They've said it on at least three occasions that if Israel's existence is ever threatened, they'll destroy the world. That's how mental and psychopathic and deranged and just moronic these people are. That's how little regard they have for life, and that is the options that they've offered the world. Basically, with that sort of an option, if our existence is ever threatened, we'll take down the world. Basically, what they're saying is we're going to do whatever we want, and we're going to do it to whoever we want, and if anybody ever tries to stop us doing anything we want, we're going to destroy the planet. So you people on the planet, you have a choice. You can do what we say or we're going to destroy the world. That's what the Samson option says. And everyone says, oh, we must support Israel. The poor Israelis, they're the victims. Bullshit. They're terrorists, they're psychopaths, and this rogue nation needs to be stopped. So I want to get as many people on the ground and put it right in the face of everybody. We're standing up against these criminals. We're standing up against Benjamin Netanyahu and his terrorist forces once and for all, because that's what the IDF is. It's a terrorist organization that is conducting terrorism and ethnic cleansing against any Arab it can find, most especially the children of Palestine whose land they stole to set up their terrorist state. And that's the reality of the situation. So let's get bums on seats and let's all go to Gaza.
It'll take a lot of guts. And also funding as well. That would be another interesting element to go for, because I'm thinking about, in terms of financing, you know why the New World Order agendas always get pulled off all the time, and they don't really seem to have any problems committing scumbaggery and bombing people for no reason, and they never get caught and they never go to jail? It's because they've got shockingly large amounts of coin. And isn't it interesting how the people who are really, really good don't really have a whole lot of coin, but the people who are just willing to commit fraud and scumbaggery and sell arms to terrorists, they're loaded and they're living the life of luxury.
Well, that's because they're the ones who run the money system, mate. They're the ones who introduced the whole slavery system, the whole debt slavery system. They just print money whenever they want it. They just put digits on the screen and there they go. And they make sure the rest of the world is all caught up in a system of perpetual self-generating debt so they don't really have a chance to even get their head above water to even notice that things may be a little bit fucked up. You know, they're just not even seeing it. They're just kept on the treadmill, so they don't notice. But the people who run it all print the money. So that's the thing. You know, the Zionists print the money, they control the media, and they set up Israel, which is basically a rogue terrorist nation, a weapons generation area, and an instability mechanism controlled by the Rothschild family, controlled by the elite. It's just a Zionist destabilization mechanism. That's all Israel is. It's got nothing to do with a home for the Jewish people or any of this sort of crap. It's about taking over the world. Zionism and these psychopaths, these morons, this whole corrupt banking cartel that's been destroying the world for the last 700 years or longer. It's just about, you know, consolidating their control. That's what Israel's for.
Do you believe that there actually should be a state of Israel, or all the Jews should be kicked out and it should be given back to the Palestinians?
Look, the Jews lived in Israel. The Holy Land of Israel existed within the boundaries of Palestine for thousands of years, and the Jews lived there in peace for thousands of years. There's no reason for that to have ever changed. The state of Israel, as it is an illegitimate terrorist state that has no right to be there. The people that are running it are not even Semitic Jews from the area. They're Europeans that were given the area by the United Nations. And the United Nations giving Palestine to a bunch of European Jews is like Ireland giving France to Brazil. You can't do that, you know what I mean? It doesn't work. You can't do it. It's like China giving Paraguay to Australia. You can't give someone else's country away. It's ridiculous. And they displaced 7 million people in doing so. It's an illegitimate rogue terrorist state run by people who have no claim to the land, and it's supported by a criminal cabal that has taken over all Western governments. That's what Israel is. Basically, like I said, it's a weapons lab and destabilization mechanism run by the Rothschilds. That's what it is.
When people say... Can I make another point here? The socialism element attaches itself to the Gaza fight for freedom quite solidly. I find this very ironic because Gaza is about protecting human life and about protecting human freedom and dignity. And yet what the socialists propose is more or less a UN global world government and global extermination. So why is it that people support the struggle of the Palestinians with such remarkable compassion, and yet also support the global extermination and enslavement of the world through the UN at the same time?
Because they're deranged retards. I mean, they're mental retards. If you're into an ism, there's something seriously wrong with you. I don't do isms. I don't do ismism. You know, I think self-autonomy is the way to go. I think that we all have the capacity to govern ourselves. All it takes is a thing called respect. That's what a lot of people seem to miss. See, all these socialists and all these guys, they think economics is real. They think the money system's actually real. They think we need money. So they've based everything from a completely skewed and deranged perspective from the beginning. And if you're going to put together any type of governmental system that's going to control anything by a cash flow, then you're fucked up from the beginning. You don't need any of this stuff. Forget it. You know, I don't need anyone controlling any aspect of my life. I live my life in a respectful manner, and I work to help people around me. And that's the way I live my life. And I don't need anyone controlling it. You know, I don't think we need any of these isms, mate. But people like socialists, they'll latch onto this because it's a human rights thing, and they can use it as a springboard with which to promote their own political ideology, because they think, oh, look, they can wrap it up in a package of caring and human rights. But it's all just a smokescreen. These are just sociopaths using the suffering of others to promote their own ideologies. It always is. That's all an ism ever is, you know.
Oh, socialism, my path.
Yeah, that works, you know. But so I just don't do isms, mate. Ismism, I call it.
Yeah. Well, I had a great quote a couple of years ago. Ism everywhere, but no one stops to think. Yeah, and ultimately, that's it's funny you should mention this, because I was just thinking about this morning before coming on the radio with you, Max. The ability to think for yourself is something that individualists crave and promote. The inability to think for yourself and the willingness to force other people to not be able to is what socialists desire.
Well, yeah, it is. It is. I mean, why would you want to control anybody else's thoughts? I mean, if people are educated in reality and what reality is and what they are, see, they don't have these bad thoughts. They don't want to do bad things unless they're just a psychopath or a sociopath just by birth, which does happen. But these people, if you've got a society that's respectful, I mean, all these barriers and borders break down, Vinny. You don't need anybody looking after you. I think one of the main problems that we've had is that the education system that we've got, the training that we receive, teaches us to forget ourselves, or it never even allows us to know ourselves, to realize what we are and to realize what's really there inside us. It externalizes everything. It trains us into language and numbers, which are not natural things. You know, the language that we've got, like the writing and all of this sort of stuff, the English language, is not natural. You know, it's a program, the whole lot's a program. They teach us spell, the whole thing, you know, the whole Illuminati psychopathic meme that is this society, really. I mean, it's something that we're taught. It's not something that's natural to us at all. It's a reality we're taught to believe is real. I think with a proper education system, if people were taught truly what they really are and knew what they were, it's an amazing thing, man. Once you really find out what you are and what you're capable of, and the mere amazement of you being here, I mean, it's incredible that we're even here having this conversation, really. It's absolutely freaking amazing.
Yeah, especially since Microsoft bought Skype. Keep going.
Yeah, but anyway, just the fact that we're here and we can verbalize speech and we can see the world around us, the fact that we're alive, this is incredible, Vinny. This planet that we've got, the opportunity we've got here. Now, we're never taught any of this. We're taught numbers and we're taught language and we're taught this. We're taught to be a functional little cog in the big machine. We're never taught what we are. And this is what you get when that happens. People forget who they are. They never know themselves, so they never know how to respect themselves. How can they respect the world if they don't even know themselves? And the only reason you don't respect yourself is because you don't know yourself. And if you do know yourself, you do respect yourself. And it isn't until you do that you know how to respect others properly. And if you don't respect others properly, it's because you don't respect yourself, because you don't know yourself, because you never knew it was there.
Yeah.
The education system didn't let you find it. You know? You've got to see how we've been programmed into this, Vinny. You know, and all of this is an opportunity. What Gaza is providing us with is an opportunity to wake up for ourselves. It's right here in your face, people. Look at this.
That's
is where
right.
It's going. The way of Palestine will be the way of the world if you don't pay attention to this issue. And that's what this is, Vinny. It's one of the greatest opportunities we've ever had. So let's do it. Let's pay attention. You know?
Yeah, and I don't see why people don't get it. I mean, this is the epitome of the scene from The Lion King where he goes, "Remember who you are, Simba." All right. Go back and become king and depose the Scarface scumbag who's taken over the pride. You know what I'm saying?
I never watched The Lion King, Vinny. I couldn't subject myself to that, so I'll just take your word for it.
All right. Well, quick synopsis. Basically, royal family. Daddy King gets assassinated by brother Prince, and then he steals all the power and then kicks out all the legitimate rulers, and then winds up having a revelation through his daddy lion talking to him through the clouds to go back and set things right. That's pretty much the synopsis of the entire film. You don't need to see it now, bro.
Well, thanks for sharing with me. My life feels much more complete.
Yeah. And on top of that, it's an allegory for pretty much every single royal family on the earth, isn't it? You know, how did I become royalty? Well, I killed a guy who was royalty and took his place. Oh, okay. Does that sound legitimate to you? Totally. All right. Sussed.
Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it? We've got a hell of a way of doing things, haven't we, Vin?
Well, I don't think we have a hell of a lot of deal with it. In fact, I've been arguing with myself about whether or not there really is a we. Just kind of like, there's no such thing as a forest, there's only trees. You know, you can touch a tree, but you can't touch a forest. There is no we, there's only really me, what I can do, and etc. However, there's interconnections, sort of like, I don't know if you ever played with Lego as a kid, but I did. I used to play with it a lot. And I think of the global consciousness, socializing, doing shows like this and everything, as more or less two different people with two different sets of Lego trying to see what they can build together.
Okay. It's an interesting way of looking at it. Might be a little bit left brain there, Vinny, but I can see where you're going.
And the other element is that you can't actually create something so amazing by yourself that nobody else with a team of people could do it. There's a proviso on that, though, because individuals are so exceptional that they can literally do something that nobody else in the entire race can even understand, let alone replicate sometimes.
Well, everybody has the capability of doing that just by being you. That's something that nobody else can understand or replicate, and that's the beauty of you, and that's the perfection of you, and that's the uniqueness of you. That's why you're perfect. That's why everybody is perfect, because they're perfect at being themselves, which is what they came here to be, obviously, because that's who they are. And they're here to experience from that perspective. It's just that they're taught that they're not perfect. They've got to measure themselves up to all these bullshit parameters that are given to them by the system, so they never get to experience themselves. That's the thing. And we can do it collectively, because we have to do it collectively, and that's what all this is. It's an opportunity for that, because really, there's only one of us here experiencing the world from 7 billion different perspectives. And that's why this ultimate evil has to exist in the world. Terrorist forces like Israel and all the evil that they do has to exist in the world, because then it gives us the opportunity to notice it. We would never have the opportunity to do the right thing if we didn't have the opportunity to do the wrong thing. So it has to be there. But it's what we do with that time. It's what we do with all of this information. It's about how we remember ourselves, Vinny, and discover the perfection of ourselves, because you're right. We all have something fantastic that we can do that nobody else can, and that is to be ourselves. That's the simplicity of it. It's ridiculous that people feel bad about themselves. It's ridiculous that people look down on themselves because they don't look a certain way or dress a certain way or haven't reached a certain rung on a certain ladder, because it's all bullshit. It's all fiction. It's all external parameters, and it's all been put there so that they forget themselves and never discover their own perfection, because as soon as they find it, they can apply it to the world around them, and the world could change in a single day. That's the reality.
It's kind of like goalposts and hoops, you know, and hierarchies. Oh, you got to jump through this hoop. You got to get the ball over this goalpost. And then as soon as you get the ball over that goalpost, they move the goalpost. And it's and that kind of thing. And it's always constantly changing. What does everybody want me to be? Well, here's the thing. Everybody's opinion of what you should be doesn't freaking matter.
Exactly. It's what you should be. It's what you are. It's not even what you should be. What are you? You ever think about that? What are you? What really are you? Not physically, but what are you? What is this frequency that is you? This frequency of consciousness. What really are you, and what are you here to do? What do you feel? What is your expression? What is your art? What is the art of the expression of that consciousness? How does it express its art? What can it improve in this world? What experience can it add to the world? What information can it garner from its experience here, so I can take it back to source, you know? Mm. It's an incredible experiment that we're all involved in, Vinny. And all of these atrocities in the planet are giving us the opportunity to wake up to ourselves. And I think it's high time we did. And that's why I've not been pulling any punches on these last shows. I'm just going to call a spade a spade. This whole incursion into Gaza has been a huge wake-up call for me. I'm not going to be so calm anymore. I'll still be reasonably calm. I mean, I'll probably swear for the next week. I mean, I've been swearing for the last week. I'm just hell angry. I really, really am. This has really got my blood boiling. But it's caused me to shift my perspective. It's caused me to realize that I can't take a backward step. I can't be politically correct. I can't be polite. I can't not call a spade anymore. I can't use soft language anymore. I'm not interested in trying to promote my work or promote my image or to be anything or to be a guru or to become famous or to be a filmmaker or to be anything. I want to change the world. I want to change the perspective that people have. I want people to rediscover themselves. And all I can do is lead by example in what I do. And that's what I'm going to do from now on. Every step I take, I'm going to be absolutely defiant in that step. I will not take a backward step to anyone. I will call a spade, and I will change the world if the people will help me do it.
My question about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, how much comedy is there involved? There's none, is there? Yeah. People are incapable of making jokes about it. They're incapable of making light of it. It's either hard out, one side or the other. I hate the Israelis because they're a terrorist state and they're killing people. Or I hate Palestinians and I like killing them.
I don't hate Israelis. Israel is a terrorist state, but I don't hate Israelis. I don't do anything I do.
Sorry. Israeli state, rather.
But I want to say, I don't do anything. I don't even hate the Israeli state. I can see it for what it is, but I don't hate it. It's not worthy of that emotion from me. Every single thing I say, every word I say against Benjamin Netanyahu, when I call him a psychopath and a cretin, when I tell him I want... All of this sort of stuff, I say from love of life, love for people, love for children, love for the humankind, love for decency, love for what is right. I will not stand by and watch people being killed by psychopaths. But I won't hate them. I won't dare give them that energy. They will not convince me to hate them. I will not do anything from hatred. But I will in the name of love, absolutely, if I have to. You know, if it comes to that point where I have to defend myself or defend a child or something like that, I will not take a backward step to someone who is full of hate, but I won't be hating them. I'll be pitying them. And I pity Benjamin Netanyahu for being the psychopathic moron that he is. I pity all the people in Israel who are sitting there eating popcorn and watching babies blown up. But I don't do anything I do from hatred, Vinny. I do it out of love for life and love for people and love for humankind. I do it out of desperation. I do it out of empathy. I do not hate. I refuse to hate. I won't give them that. They can't take that from me. They won't reduce me to that. Not ever. Not ever.
Well, it's a good response there, because what I found, interestingly, is this is exactly what happens to people in general, is that they'll go into something to oppose hate in and of itself. In the process, they get infected by it, kind of like trying to fight a disease.
Exactly, exactly. That's what they want, you know. That's what they want. See, it's like Dante said, if you stare into hell, hell will stare back to you. You will become hell. It's the same thing. If you scream at someone who hates enough, you will end up hating them, you know. I don't do it out of hate, though, Vinny. I do it out of desperation. I do it because I simply can't remain quiet anymore. I can't stand by and be passive watching the world being destroyed around me, watching people that I love being killed by terrorists. I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Do you feel a sense of anxiety, kind of like a almost like a – for me, it's sort of like a pressure on my throat. It seems like very deeply held rage that one might call hate, but it's not exactly. I think it's kind of justified. Sort of like if you see a child being raped in front of you by a scumbag and you beat him to death.
Mate, I feel energetic strings attached to all of this. I really do. I feel it energetically. I went to sleep last night. I actually slept really solidly, and it was during the ceasefire. And, you know, when the ground invasion started, I woke up like a bullet. It's like someone put a bullet in my chest. I woke up and went, bah, what the hell is that? And I looked online, and they just started the ground invasion. It was like an energetic connection, and I must have slept during the six-hour ceasefire. That's the first decent sleep I've had in a week. Was when the fighting stopped in Gaza. So this is charging the field. This whole thing is charging the field. It's like a big black magic ceremony, mate. There's this huge blood sacrifice going on. And there's
Wait a second.
People enraged around the world from it, mate.
Wait a second, Max. A couple of days, it might have been a week or so, before this happened, there was a whole bunch of truthers putting up posts all over Facebook and everything, saying, talking about a ritual. There's a certain date or something like that, where it's an annual blood sacrifice ritual, or something of that nature. Have you seen any of these posts?
No, I haven't, but it wouldn't surprise me.
And then right after that, you know, alleged blood ritual, everybody was, conspiracy theorists saying was going to happen, Gaza gets invaded and a whole bunch of kids get sacrificed to the dark gods.
No, yeah, it's all blood sacrifice, mate. You can feel it in the air. You can absolutely feel it, Vinny. I mean, I can. For me to have woken up like that and oh, gee, what's going on, you know? I mean, I felt actually calm. I was laying in bed and I was thinking, I actually felt calm for the first time in a week, you know? And then when I woke up and it was, I looked straight online and bang, ground invasion commenced a few minutes ago. I thought, well, that's exactly when I woke up, you know. So it's an energetic connection, you know. There's all this weird energy stuff going on, Vinny.
It's freaking really angels and demons out there, eh?
Yeah, but mate, I'd really like to get a bunch of people, whoever wants to come with me to Gaza. I mean, I don't know what I do. I open a Facebook page or something and try to get people to sign up and try to organize and coordinate and get enough people in there. We need to create an international media attention for it. We need a huge media coverage of a delegation going straight into Gaza, straight into this war zone, just to stop the Israeli attack, you know. That's probably all it will take, and I'm happy to go and do it. Well, not happy, but I'm willing to go and do it. You know, I'll be there with bells on if I can get people to come with me.
I thought it'd be very interesting to get a support Gaza media alliance or something of that nature, just aggregate all the different articles and truth that's going on inside that region for people to publish in an unbiased, unrestricted way, or at least point them in the right direction of all these different commentators and what. I don't know. I'm just spitfiring ideas. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show. This is a listener-supported broadcast, so please go to TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com. Winter's been incredibly tough, ladies and gentlemen, and finances are incredibly tight, which causes a lot of anxiety, not anywhere near as much as being bombed and gassed. other, but still a little bit. And it would be very nice and lovely if anybody would be feeling generous enough, considering I try and help get the truth out about all sorts of stuff. It's just become a job for me, all right? Exposing scumbaggery is a full-time job, and I'm the only person in New Zealand who has this job, okay? If you want me to continue being able to do it, I'll keep continuing to do it with or without your help. Let me make that clear. I didn't need your help to start, but to operate at this level and getting out there and simply surviving at this moment, I do really much need your support, because we had a PayPal incident that happened earlier on in the year, who cancelled one PayPal account, which lost like about 45, 50 subscribers who were doing like $10, $20 or $5 a month donations. So my income was pretty much cut in half. Anybody listening who was one of those subscribers, you can now resubscribe with the PayPal buttons on the homepage, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. We'll be right back.